Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. And we are getting a lot of rain in Hicks, Louisiana right now. So you may hear that in the background. It's not sound effects. It's the real thing. And of course, we know Christmas is right up on us. And from my family to you, from my family to yours, is a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. This is the time of the season which I've been preaching on, kind of like a sermon series on Christmas and looking at hope and joy and peace and why people will debate the timing of Christ. This is a time of the year that us as a nation, or should as a nation, to recognize the birth of our Lord Savior that take away the sins of the world. And I'm thinking about maybe adding a Bible study on the Bible study section. We are going through Acts, but I'm thinking about putting a Bible study that we did at our church, or the church I'm helping out right now. I may add that on there. Of course, dealing with Luke 1, 13 through 25. And of course, we know that is a detailed historical event. That is, Dr. Luke was very descriptive. Luke is probably one of my favorite synoptic gospels. He's very detailed. And I'm very detailed, so I can relate a lot to Luke, the physician, Luke, the historian, and how accurate he was or is, and through his writings. Of course, we know Luke wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke and Acts. So tonight we're going to look at John 3, 16 through 21. That's John 3, 16 through 21. Let's have some prayer. Hopefully electricity won't go out. I do have extra power source here if I need to get through this sermon tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for just being with us this year. How crazy it's been with the corona and the hurricanes and tornadoes. Louisiana, and still people are suffering, especially with the hurricanes and the tornadoes. The need in Louisiana is great. Lord, let our light be among those that are hurting. Let our heart reach out to those that are in need, and to be that hope, and to have that joy, and to have that peace, and have that love radiating from every pore of our body to reach those that are in need. Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight as we go through this message. I pray that the Holy Spirit falls and on the ears of whoever hears this message, and the heart, and let the heart guide and direct that individual to truly open their path and their direction to the one and the only one, the only true living God that sent his Son into this world to be that ultimate sacrifice, to be that atonement through the blood that was shed on the cross, that justification, that sanctification, that regeneration, to walk more in the light and less in the darkness, more in the spirit, less in the flesh. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So John 3, 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting Why? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. But he that do true comes to the light, and that his deeds may be manifest. They are wrought from in God. That means they are from God. If you go back maybe 3 weeks, we looked at hope. And we looked at how our hope is different from this world. And then the week after that, we looked at joy. And we looked how joy is different from this world. And of course, joy is Jesus over you. Jesus, of course, that's J-O-Y. Of course, that's Jesus over us, right? Our joy don't come from our circumstances or what this life hits us with. It's the joy of knowing. It's the joy of our salvation. Knowing and seeing the full picture. The end game. This earth, this world is not our home. And thank God for that. This world is not our home. We're just passing through this world. We get so comfortable, right, with this world. And we keep conforming as a church, our churches conform more to the world, not preaching the fundamental truths in the Bible. We get really caught up on nominations, and I'll tell you, there will be only one nomination in heaven, and that will be true Christianity. Matter of what popular belief is that heaven will not be full of Baptists, and heaven will not be full of Pentecostals, and they won't be segregating or Methodists or the other hundreds of other Christian-based nominations that believe in the birth of Christ and, of course, the crucifixion and the resurrection. And, of course, we looked at peace and how peace is different from this world. And, of course, tonight we're going to look at love and how love is different. Our love is different than this world. You see, this world tries to counterfeit love. A love that can only be found in Jesus. And the world does a great job. If you don't believe me, look at our youth today. And how will they define love? They're flooded with love stories from movies to novels. Stuff that will make some blush. Unless you're totally desensitized, you can watch that filth on television. But they portray what love should look like. And it's working. It's working. You look just not at our youth, you look at our cultural. The culture in our nation is sad. And maybe some of us have bought into that. I hope not. This world tells us, it screams at the top of its lungs what love is. It will tell you love, true love, is selfishness and self-serving. It's all about what I say, the I-ism and me-isms. The selfish and self-serving love that has just not just infected this world, but it also has infected the church. It's sad. And maybe you guys out there listening to this, you're not infected. And I praise God for that you have a love that's in Christ and it's not self-serving. You have a pastor or a preacher or evangelist or a Bible teacher that is not selfish and not about I and me. I can tell you an instant or self-serving. I can tell you a quick way, and this ain't going to be popular. Listen to a Bible teacher. Listen to a preacher, a pastor. If there's a lot of I's and me's, there's something really wrong with that person's heart. It's all of what I have done. It's all what I can do. It's what I can do for you. It's sad. You see, we can't do nothing, or at least I can't do nothing without the help of the Holy Spirit. Without Him guiding and directing my every step, the words that I pen writing a sermon is not in my own power, but it's on the travail and the crying over the sermon and praying, God, direct my eyes and direct my hands and let me pen the words. And when I speak, let your words come out of my mouth, not me. I'm just a messenger of God. And when I speak, let your anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit fall on those around. Not me, you. I must decrease, He must increase. I want them to see Jesus in me. You know, you think of marriage. I came across a few articles and may post them on my website, because Facebook is regulating me tremendously. It's got worse, but that's the signs of the time. But marriage, when you look at marriage, and we can look at it in America, and you would think that two lost people, and that's Christianese for those that have not given their life to God, always say this, and it's biblical. You have that triangle, or not really triangle, but you have that 3 points. You have you, your spouse, and God. And God's in the marriage is priority in the marriage, not you or your spouse, but you put God ahead of everything. Everything works out. Lost people don't do that. They do not know Jesus the way we should know Him. And it's sad that if two people within a church that profess something like they are Christians and they know Jesus. But you see, when you look at the two comparisons, is both group have a 50-50 chance to make it. And that number could be higher. But I want to tell you, wouldn't you think the couple who profess to know Jesus and say Jesus is the most important thing in our life, we're elevating Him in our marriage, everything we do will reflect Him, should have a higher percentage of making it than the two that do not know us? 50-50. One is selfish, self-serving. What can you do for me? What can I do for you? And leave God totally out of it. It's very important to keep God elevated within a marriage. And when you do that, you will find there is time for your spouse. And there's time to have that time to spend together, what we would call that intimacy, that, you know, that closeness, and of course that passion, and of course that commitment. That is commitment, because you have made a commitment, just not to her or him. And no, I don't buy into the homosexuality marriages. I know many are. I don't buy into it. It's an abomination as any other sin in our lives that needs to be repented of and confessed to Jesus. It's a commitment. And when you, it holds a lot more weight than what the world would view as contractual, meaning it's a contract. And we know today, day and age, a contract really don't mean nothing. It should, because it's a obligation to pay something or to follow the duties of something. But we know today's age, it don't really mean much. So when we look at this world, the definition, one of the definition is love is self-serving and selfish. We can also look as the love this world defines and tells us about. We can see it's fickle, it is superficial, it is shallow. And you can really see that in marriage. But just not in marriage, as in a church. See, our love should be different than that world's love. It should not be fickle, and it should not be superficial, and it should not be shallowed. Because that fickle and that superficial and shallow love will not stand the test of time. When the storms of life comes, and that's within a marriage or within a church that don't have the true definition of what it means to love one another, it will fall. I think of the examples of the two people that built their house. One built their house on sand, and the other one built their house on a rock. And of course, I've been in contracting, construction, for all kind of other things. But a good foundation is very important to lay. A foundation can mean anything. If you ever dealt with sand, you can really tell it's not really steady. It's not really stable. But if you built your foundation on a solid foundation, most of the time we put concrete. And of course you level that concrete out and all those little things you do. But concrete is a lot stable. It's hard. It's like a rock. When those storms come, the water hits it and the winds blow, that foundation don't shake. Now, don't get me wrong. You have hurricanes, you have tornadoes, and you could have a solid foundation and the wind can rip a wall out. A good foundation. Also, this world will tell you to act on impulse. They're selling it like a drug. They want you to get hooked. It's emotional high. You're on that hill or you're on that mountain, and you don't want to come off that mountain or hill. So when the newness of whatever the relationship or whatever you're doing, the marriage wears off, then you're looking for that next high. You're looking for that another increase of serotonin levels. See, addiction is horrible. I pray that none of you guys have a addiction. My heart is broken for you guys that do. I know the pain of it. I was an alcoholic, porn addict. The pain and all that comes with that. But it's by the grace and mercy of God. He pulled me out of the darkness into the light. See, you can never get enough. It's one video, and then it's another video, and then it's another video. Or it's one drink after another drink and another drink. You can't stop. It's like love that world sells you. You're in love. You're having that emotional response. I would call that lust. But that's what they sell as love. Lust. If you look at, I don't encourage movies that are vulgar, and you guys may watch those, and that's between you and God. But when you even look, or even look at a trailer, or you're just not even looking and a trailer just comes up, and when you look at what they're defining as love, it's just lust wrapped around in love, and that's what they encourage people to attach to. Also, when we look at the love of this world, we also see that it distorts that word tolerance. They want to tell you to be tolerant. You do not love me because you will not compromise your biblical truths or beliefs on marriage between a man and woman. You do not love me because I am a homosexual. You see, this love that compromise is a compromise on your beliefs that overlooks all kind of sins and destructive behavior of love. And this is what the world will define as you being intolerant. We want you to tolerate our lifestyle, but we do not want to tolerate your lifestyle. I think of the frog illustration. I don't know if you guys heard this illustration. You know how you cook a frog, or boil a frog. You take some water and you put it in a pot. You put, of course, the frog in that pot. And you turn the heat up just a little bit. Just a little bit. Frog gets very comfortable and you crank it up just a little bit more. And then just a little bit more. Next thing you know, that frog is boiled. That's what this world is doing to us, and we're allowing it to do that. Of course, we know that this world is Satan's world. We know of the curse. Saying all of that, brothers and sisters, our love is different than the world's love. See, the Bible tells us the greatest love story you will ever read. There is no novel, movie, television show that compares to the love story of God and for His children. Of course, we can go to the beginning in Genesis, the very beginning. You can look at Genesis 1 and 2. You can see that God created a beautiful garden. It was good. It was perfect. He created the sky, the water, the plants, the animals. Of course, we know He created Adam and Eve. And we know all their needs were taken care of. And we know that Satan entered the serpent, and when how he deceived, or Eve allowed him to deceive her and then Adam. And this is where the sin, what we call the fall of man, the curse into this world, that is sin and death. A lot of pulpits don't want to preach on sin. Sin is important to understand the love of God. That curse entered, and of course we know death entered. That is physical death. Also, we know spiritual death. And we know that God promised one day to send a redeemer. You can see that in Genesis 3:15. I post a devotional on my website this week on Genesis 3:15. I encourage you guys to check it out. It's a little more detailed. If you might have never heard of Genesis 3:15 being the promise, the first one, the prophetic promises of a redeemer. Start correcting that curse that Adam and Eve did, and we can put ourselves right in the boat, what we have done and what we are still doing. We, of course, have that flesh, and we still have that struggle. It was this, of course, in Genesis 3:15, the promise of a redeemer. And of course, we know that redeemer is the Son of God. In our reading today in John 3:16, which is probably one of the most popular verses out there, but I have 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, not because of anything I can do specially, but because the Holy Spirit have memorized all of it, because John 3:16 just don't cut it. It's a half-truth. You have to look at all of it. 16 to 21 plus the whole Bible. But we get John 16. It said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Right? "For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And he that believe on Him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And that's what we really reflect on this Christmas. But we, of course, reflect on it all through the year, just not one day of the year. I know you've heard many pastors, especially around this time of the year, so I'm not going to harp too much on that. Because I'm pretty sure you will hear Christmas sermons that stress that. And it's very important to stress that. But we go back to the promise that God has given us at Genesis 3:15 of the Redeemer. And we know this was His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It was that baby in that manger, that precious little baby, who was not born like other babies. This baby was perfect. This baby did not have any sin in his life. He was born of a virgin. Don't let nobody tell you the virgin birth is a myth. The virgin birth, if you can't explain it, okay, but it doesn't trump belief that it happened. You will have many today that will tell you the virgin birth is improbable. I will tell them there's nothing improbable to impossible or improbable for a God that is mighty and holy and righteous, that has his hands is on everything and every move that we make. I believe in the Word of God. I believe it has no errors and is the true Word of God. Do not hit me with things of talking about how you believe there's errors in the Word of God. You want to disbelieve it? You have that right. You will be wrong. I promise you. You keep denying God's Word. I don't take no pleasure in that. It actually breaks my heart. There is a heaven and there is a hell. You see, God sent His Son. Start correcting what Adam and Eve did in that garden and what we are doing now. See, we have to come to Jesus. We have to come. It was that blood. See, that baby grew into an adult. And when you look at Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and of course, John, you will see the account. You will see his walk. We should study those Gospels, like memorizing it, right? We should have chapters memorized off of a dime. And I'm not going to say that I have a lot of memorized. I'm just saying we need to strive for that, right? We need to get in the Word like our life depends on. We have to know those Gospels and have it on our heart daily. And we know He lived a perfect life without sin. And He was the Lamb that take away the sin of the world. And we know that He walked that Calvary and that He was crucified. And He endured the beating, the scourging, the mocking, the nails, all that pain and all the suffering. He did that for us. It was that blood that ran red at the cross. For what? For me, for you, for us. So we can be redeemed from this life. That we do not have to experience the second death. That is that spiritual death. You see, we deserve a devil's hell. We deserve a cross. Because initially our deeds were evil. As the scripture tells us. That light that came into the world, that is Jesus. And He gives us all the opportunities in the world to give ourselves to Him. Surrendering all. Surrendering all. Heart, soul, and mind. The old is gone. The new is come. It's called regeneration. When you become new in Christ, you are regenerated. You are sanctified. You are justified. And you have a yearning, a passion. God gives you that strength to walk in this world and to let your light shine. He gives you strength to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. Our lives, of course, should show more. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is love. That is long-suffering. That is goodness. That is gentleness. That is meekness and temperance. That is joy and peace. That is faith. And to walk not in the works of the flesh. Yeah, I believe there's like 13 of those. And of course, the list goes on and on. It's adultery and fornication. uncleanness, lasciviousness. I'm just going off of memory. Of course, the King James Version. That's where a lot of the scriptures I have memorized comes from, is the King James. That is witchcraft and idolatry. Immolation, strife, and sedition. Murder and drunkenness. Immolation, heresy, anger, hate, reviling. I may have missed one or two out of that. Of course, we know that list goes on and on and on. Our heart desire should be to walk more in a life that is reflection of Jesus and less of us. Right? That's salvation. That is recognizing the birth. That is recognizing the crucifixion and the death and the resurrection. And that because of this, all of this, you are new in Christ. And your life should reflect that. Of course, if you look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Let me flip to it. But from memorization, for by grace are you saved through faith. And I believe it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest, I think it's, any man should boast. Let me flip to it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then, of course, that verse 10, which should need to be, when you look at the Greek, it's a full paragraph there. So we should read it as a paragraph. It's included in that paragraph. And to leave it out is deceptive. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. Meaning, we are supposed to walk in good works. But we are, of course, saved by grace. And grace and mercy that was seen at the cross. And if you look at grace and mercy, it's just beautiful. Jesus was that light. Amen for that light, right? I don't know if you guys were able to see the Star of Bethlehem a few days ago. Me and my wife looked at it. We had an overcast, so it was kind of hard to see it, but still, it's, you know, I've seen pictures online, and it's beautiful, right? The Star of Bethlehem gets you in the kind of excited. Now, I get pretty excited and passionate. If you hear me preach, you'll know I get very excited about the gospel and about reaching others with the gospel, regardless of how they may not like it. I'm still going to proclaim it. I'm still going to shout it at the top of my lungs, right? We should do that. Because he's coming back. See, Matthew 24:13 says this, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. When we open our hearts to Jesus, when we accept and believe and confess his birth, his death, and his resurrection, our lives are changed. Philippians 3:13-14 says this, brother, I count it not myself to apprehend, but this is one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Without. It didn't say with. Waving all the time. He said, without waving. For he is faithful that promise. Hebrews 12:1-2 says this. Therefore, seeing we also are a great cloud of witness, let not us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He, for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Can you get that? The joy that he set before him to endure that cross. I don't know if you really thought about the cross and what happened at the cross. It just breaks my heart to think of it every time. I get tears in my eyes on what happened. But we know all of it had to happen. All of it had to happen. Because it was through that death and that blood that was shed, he had to be taken down, and he rose on that third day. Hallelujah, right? And of course, we know he rose and he left us the Holy Spirit. And one day soon, he will be coming back for us. And thank God for that. That is the love of Christ. In the contents of John 3:16 through 17, you'll see that love. And what you can really look is agape. You may have heard that term, agape. This world cannot truly comprehend that word. You see, agape love is steadfast. It's unmovable. I like going to the ocean. I haven't been in a while. But when you look at the ocean, it's so vast. I love watching Animal Planet or Planet Earth documents on ocean and all the creatures in the ocean. But it's so vast. And I look at that, and that ocean is, I think of God's love, it's like an ocean, but it's more than an ocean. And I think of that grace and mercy overflowing. Man, it's wonderful how grateful and merciful our God is. That love, that steadfast, that unmovable love that we have in Christ. You see, hell was never meant for us. Hell was meant for Satan and his demons. God does not want us to go to this hell. So he tries to make it as simple. We can complicate it, right? We can get real with Jesus. And I guess you can say real. That means getting down to it. We have free choice. He will not force us. Although it will break his heart when we reject him over and over again. You see, Jesus going to prepare his children a place. And a place we cannot even imagine. Like the Garden of Eden, it will be perfect. It will be good. When we have no more worries, we won't have to worry about all the things that we have to worry about today. The bills and the car notes and the house notes and the electrical notes. And maybe you're having chronic pain tonight or suffering from a sickness. Maybe your marriage is broken. Maybe you have no place to go. It's up to the bottle. Maybe you're struggling with some form of addiction tonight. Maybe you just don't know where to go. The cross is a beautiful thing. The cross shows the love of our God. It be course began. With Jesus Christ, first of the promise. And of course, through the Old Testament, it pointed to the coming of the Messiah. And then Jesus comes. And we know he was a baby. And if you guys may be familiar with babies, I've held a few in my time. And man, that's just a new baby smell, right? And the ones that I held, they goog and gag and they smile. And you want to make little faces ahead of me, though. The precious. That's what Mary looked on that night when she looked at baby Jesus and then Joseph and as he grew. The Jesus that she delivered soon would deliver her and us. The ultimate love story, right? Hollywood cannot even grasp the love that night in the manger. Hollywood cannot grasp the greatest novels cannot write or pen the greatest love story that we have in our Bible of Jesus. They can't even compare to the peer, the, I guess you would say, lack of words, the unconditional love we have in Jesus. Those that have truly opened their hearts to Him and accepted that promise. Those that who constantly reject Him. Well, He will honor your rejection if you choose to. In closing tonight, this world can offer you or try to offer you true love. And of course, we know this love this world offer us, it's a knockoff. It's a counterfeit love. It's a love that will leave you empty and looking for the next fix. It can't be found in these love stories that Hollywood produced or the greatest novel writers out there. What they try to present to you, of course, it sells. They wouldn't write those novels or produce those movies if they didn't. It will tell you that the love is centered on you and what you can get. It will tell you that love should be all about I, me, me. A love that is tolerant. A tolerant love that means you can compromise who you are and still be tolerant. This love of the world is of Satan. And we know this world's under a curse. Not because of what God did. God didn't do nothing. We like to blame God. We did something. It was in that garden. It's where even Adam sinned against God. That beautiful creation that was cursed. And God could have said, I'm done. I'm through. Adam, Eve, you disgust me. No. He promised a Redeemer. Genesis 3:15. To start a correction. A correction of what we did. You got evil, right? I really didn't hit on this in the body of my sermon, but I have preached on spiritual warfare quite a bit. And you got evil, you got Satan and demons, right? And you got God, you got and his angels, and of course in the center of the story you have Adam and Eve, and you have that great tragedy. But within that promise of John 3:15, that light shines, and that course is the coming of Jesus. And this Christmas, let's focus. Let's put the spotlight on Jesus. That baby in the manger that was born to a virgin. It was a miracle birth. It was a miracle birth. That child was born that night. That child of hope. That child of joy. That child of peace. And that child of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you and me, that will believe in Him, we shall not perish. We shall not go to hell, but we can have everlasting life. We can have heaven. We can have God. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He gave us out. And that was through His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We can come right where we're at tonight. You don't have to be in a church right now. You can be at home listening to this. You can have this on your vehicle. You can be walking, jogging at work, listening to this podcast. You can feel that pull toward something different, a hope that is different, a joy that is different, a peace that is different, a love that is different. Is that love that tells you Jesus came to the earth to be born of a virgin, to live a life without sin that was perfect, to be blameless, that blameless lamb, that lamb without any spot or blemish that was led to slaughter, and that blood that was spilled on the ground, all the tears that flowed from his eyes as all the tears that flowed from his eyes. Every stripe, every pain, every nail he took for us, so we would not have to take it. That love that was poured from him, the sinner like us, we do not deserve heaven, we deserve hell. We deserve everlasting torment, but Jesus tells us, no, come to me. You do not have to receive that death sentence, that death penalty. We can come to him and we can find a love that would cover a multitude of sin from east, from west, one nail scar hand to another. This love is stable. This love will not leave you empty. This love will keep you in times where everything is falling apart. This love will give you strength to endure life and the challenges that it has for you. This love will give you the courage to stand on the Word of God when the world tells you to compromise who you are. This love will convict you. It will chasten you. It will encourage you to walk a life that is more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. This love will push you to grow in Christ and to be that disciple and to be that warrior for Christ regardless of the cost. But we should have counted the cost and we're all in. That is a love. That's our definition of love. Today or tonight, what does your love look like? Does it look more like this world or more like Christ's love that was shed on the cross for each and every one of us? I pray tonight that this message just reaches your heart. Of course, we say heart and that can be misinterpreted a lot of times. Basically, it's just, when you say the heart, it's basically your whole being. It's collective. Heart, mind, soul. Surrendering it all. You know that song, that beautiful song, I surrender all. I surrender all. We surrender all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. As you guys bow with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity just to give this sermon. Thank you for keeping the lights on. Thank you, God, for the birth. Jesus Christ, thank you for the cross and the resurrection. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that have truly surrendered all to him. Thank you, God, for keeping us and those who may be struggling tonight. I pray you find hope in this message. You find joy in this message. You find peace in this message. You find true love in this message. That wherever you're at, Jesus understands your pain. He knows the depths of despair. Just give it to him. I know I've been there, and I still am not immune and may end up there again. Lord, I pray that you be with us the rest of this week. Those that are having Christmas dinner and Christmas service, I pray at those in the area, and they come to church and they just feel the love of God and the message. Pray the preachers within the pulpit, they proclaim the gospel, the truth of the gospel. I pray hearts for change, truly change, a regeneration, a life that is different than this world. Lord, I pray those you know are hurting, we lift them up to you, Lord. You know their needs, you know their wants, you know everything about them. I don't know anything other than the words you have me say. And sometimes I don't even understand what you have me write down. It's only through your Spirit. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. I wish once again you guys a Merry Christmas. And I am thinking about putting this Bible study up on my website. Of course, the website that God encouraged me to do. I say my website is really a inspired work of God for me to do that, because Jonathan didn't want to do that. It takes a lot of work to maintain, but it's fine. If you guys have any prayer requests, of course, you guys know how to, if you go to my website, I have a box there. You can send me prayer requests. I will add you to my prayer list, and I will pray for you daily, most days, but I'm human, right? So I can easily get busy real quick. Something happens and I forget something, and but I try to be as fervent as I can in praying or intercessory as I can. Of course, the flesh is weak, and of course we have to push through that. And you guys out there praying ancestrally wise, and you understand the struggle, but I see more through the Holy Spirit than I fail, so that's beautiful. So if you guys have any prayer requests, just you can put them on my website. I'll get them directly, or you can, of course, I have a telephone on my website. You can text them to me. Please identify yourself. When you do, I have Facebook, I have Parler, so you can PM me, private message me. I have Twitter. Working on trying to get a P.O. box set up, so in that case you guys can able to send me prayer requests through the mail if you don't trust the those other means. So you guys have a good night. Love you guys. Bye.